Hi, my name is Kirk Kinder, and this is Saving Yourself from Wall Street, the podcast for people who want to avoid Wall Street's sales tactics, high cost, and conflicted advice so they can take control of their financial life. So let's get to it. In this week's podcast, what we're going to talk about is identity theft. Now, a lot of people probably get tired of hearing about identity theft all the time. It seems to be in the news quite a bit. But did you know that each year, 15 million people have their identity stolen? So that's roughly 5% of Americans every year get their identity stolen in some fashion. Now, sometimes it could just be, you know, you give your credit card to a waiter. That waiter then uses your card somewhere else. It gets usually caught. But that is identity theft. But it could go all the way up to the point where they're going to try to actually open up accounts in your name or file fraudulent tax returns. Really just try to create a completely different you. And I always use the example of a gentleman named Eldridge Woods. Now, this gentleman, Mr. Woods, had some identity thieves steal his identity. They had opened up credit cards in his name and had basically $50,000 of credit available to them using Eldridge Woods' email, or not email, but social security number and all his personal information. And, you know, the thieves started to get a little bit bolder and decided, hey, let's go out and get a car. And I can't remember if it was a Lexus or BMW or what they were going after. But as they were taking out the loan package, the salesman kind of thought, this is sort of odd. You know, Eldridge Woods is a pretty unique name. And this guy knew an Eldridge Woods. Well, in fact, you know Eldridge Woods too. He goes by Tiger Woods. So Tiger had his identity stolen. And fortunately, the salesman at the auto dealership kind of inquired a little bit further and discovered that these guys were not Eldridge Woods. They were just trying to steal his identity. Now, for Tiger, it's probably not a real big deal to have $50,000 of credit cards open up your name. You know, he makes that on the back nine of the, you know, at Augusta. But for you and me, if we had $50,000 taken out in our name and we have to somehow clear it up, all of a sudden we have a problem. It's a big deal for us. So, you know, the thing is with identity theft, it isn't just them getting this information. It's us having to clean it up. That's probably the biggest issue. And the thing is, it's getting cheaper and cheaper for people to be able to get your personal information. It can be sold all over the place, and it's getting to be something that's happening frequently in what they call the dark web. So when you go on the internet, you're basically going to known channels like Google, Yahoo, you know, AOL, all that kind of thing. But there's actually the internet that isn't kind of a customer-focused interface. That's what they call the dark web. So Carbon Black, a cybersecurity firm, released a report last April and found how extremely inexpensive and easy it is to get your information on the web. You know, for instance, Carbon Black found that for $1 for up to $52, people can obtain a W-2 form from your name or your 1040, your actual tax return. So it depends on, I guess, how much money you have or you know, how popular you are. If you're just kind of a low-income folks, it might be $1 for. But if you're sort of a business owner or somebody who has some wealth, it must be $52. But think about that. For $52, somebody in the dark web can get your W-2 or your 1040. Social Security numbers and names can be bought for as little as 19 cents up to $62. So think about that. 19 cents is all somebody would charge to get your name and Social Security number. It's pretty crazy. So it must mean that they have got a lot of information. Usually they'll hack different databases and they might download anywhere from, you know, 10,000 to a million names, and they can sell that stuff off for pennies, maybe a buck. But there's other things on there like how-to guides and how to file a fraudulent tax return for, you know, those guides are usually about $5. So you go out there and you can find out how do you actually do some fraudulent tax returns. So this is clearly an issue that's not going to go away. It's very difficult for anybody to stop this completely. But there are some things that you can do to kind of protect your identity. And what I'm going to talk about is the three most common ways to protect your identity. So the first one that you can do, and you see this a lot on commercials when you're watching TV, is the credit monitoring services. So the three credit agencies, Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion, all have a credit monitoring service that you can buy. There's also LifeLock, freecreditreport.com. So, you know, for anywhere from $50 to $100 a year, they'll monitor your credit. Now, the bad thing about this is these credit monitoring services, well, they're only looking at what has happened. They're not doing anything proactive to protect you. So if you want something that really is going to protect you, you need to look somewhere else. Not to say that these things aren't valid services to have in place. And usually what happens is if there is a hack, like a big database gets hacked, then whoever has been hacked will provide this service to you for free for a year. But again, it doesn't really tell you. I mean, you find out a month after the fact that three or four credit cards have been opened in your name that you didn't actually open yourself. That's not really all that much of a protection. So the second thing you can do, which provides a higher level of protection, is to put a fraud alert on your credit. So what's a fraud alert? Well, it lets lenders know that there's been some fraudulent activity on your credit. So they need to verify, they need to take a little more time to ensure that whoever is trying to take credit out in your name is in fact you. Now the problem with the fraud alert is twofold. One, it's only good for 90 days. So you would have to continually update every 90 days to keep the fraud alert going. Now, when you look at some of these credit services that I mentioned before, for instance, LifeLock, what they do is they will do this 90-day credit or this fraud alert for you every 3 months. So they take the burden of placing the fraud alert from you and put it to them. But the second thing I don't like about the fraud alert is it doesn't stop anyone from actually issuing credit in your name. It just alerts them to the possibility that there was fraud. The fraud alert can be ignored. Now, a reputable entity would see that and they probably would take some extra steps to ensure that the person trying to get the credit is you. But what if that person has your tax return? What if they have your Social Security card? They've got your birth date. They've got all kinds of information. It might make it very difficult for that lender to discover that it isn't actually you. And they may not be that motivated, right? They don't make money if they turn you away. So the third way to protect your identity is actually my favorite way, and it's what I do personally. It's called a credit freeze. So what does this do? Well, you do this through the three credit agencies that I mentioned before, Equifax, Experian, TransUnion. You can do it online or you can do it via mail. But what a freeze does is it shuts down your credit. So when a lender looks at your credit, they get absolutely no information. They get nothing. They don't see anything. So any reputable lender is not going to lend to somebody when they can't get any information. So even if somebody stole your information, they got your social, they got your tax return, they know your birth date, they've got all this information on you. Even if they created a fake ID, if the lender can't get any information on your credit, nothing, then they're probably not going to lend to even to that person. Whereas with the fraud alert, they still might. But with the credit freeze, they get no information. They're not going to lend anything to you because they don't know how to rate your risk. You might have the worst credit score that's ever been known to man. So this really locks things down. Now, it's great. It's awesome. It's the best way to do it. But it can be a little bit of a pain. I'm not going to lie to you. So if you happen to need credit, if you want a new credit card, if you want to buy a new car and you need an auto loan or anything with a mortgage, anytime you need to allow somebody to access your credit, you have to unfreeze your credit report. Now, it takes a little bit of time. You can do it online again or you can do it by mail. But what's the real pain is it also is going to cost you. So to put a freeze in place or to take it off temporarily, the three credit agencies are allowed to charge you a fee. So typically you're looking at about $5 to $10. It varies from state to state. Each state has created what they consider to be a fair value. I mean, some states, I can't remember off the top of my head, but some states don't allow the agencies to charge you anything to put a freeze on. Some charge $5, some charge $10. So if you are somebody who's going to put the credit freeze on and then take it off for a little while, you're pretty much looking at about a $30 round trip transaction. So that's a little bit of a pain, but it's the best protection that you can get. So here's the thing. You also, if you're married, you want to do it for your spouse. So you want to make sure you and your spouse are covered. But there's also another step to think about is your children. So you might have a little newborn baby and you think, well, who would want his or her credit? Well, they don't care. Identity thieves don't care. If they get the social and they can find somebody who will lend to them or open up an account, they're going to try it. All they're looking for is a social security number. So you actually, and I did this when my kids were young, you have to put a freeze on their credit. So if anybody tries to take credit out in their name, they're going to get that freeze and they're going to get no information whatsoever. Now, this has a little bit extra work, even beyond just doing your own personal credit freeze. So expect, you know, you're going to have to be sending in birth certificates. You're going to have to show that you're, in fact, the parent. But the little extra work, and this one has to be, this can't be done online. It's got to be done via mail. It's a little extra work, but it's definitely worth something, you know, worth doing it. The last thing you want is for your child to reach age 18, trying to get some credit on his or her own, and then they find out that they have horrible credit. They're, you know, behind on several payments for several different credit cards. And believe me, it does happen. It does happen. So other little things you could do that you want to think about doing every year, you definitely want to take a look at your credit report every single year. And the government has mandated that all three agencies give you a free credit report every single year. If you just type in, you just go Google free credit report government, and you're going to see the link to go and find out where you can get your free credit reports. What you should ideally do, since you can get one from all three agencies, you could do one every 4 months. And then that covers you for the year to see if anything strange has been going on with your credit. That's definitely something that you want to think about doing. But some of the other things you really want to focus on is really look at your credit card bills. Make sure there's not little $10 here, $20 there that you didn't do or you didn't authorize. Sometimes credit card thieves will do that. They won't go out and try to buy a ton of nice stuff right off the bat. They'll just do little transactions here and there. So maybe that they're small enough to where you don't really discover what's going on. That does happen. That's something to look at. The third thing is just making sure that you shred stuff. Shred. Anything with any kind of account numbers, anything with your personal information, just shred it. Go out, buy a good shredder, or put it in a big box and then use one of these, you know, shredding agencies. They'll come by, shred it right there at your house. But don't be afraid to shred. Don't put things in the trash. That's the worst thing you can do. So those are just some little helpful hints. If you take nothing else away from this podcast, you should be thinking about putting a credit freeze on your credit reports. Again, you can go to Equifax, Experian, TransUnion. You'll find it on their webpages of how to put a credit freeze in place. I highly, highly recommend it. If you have any questions on this at all, please don't hesitate to reach out to me. You can contact me at kirk@savingyourselffromwallstreet.com. Also, if you have any other kind of topics you'd like me to discuss, any other kind of ideas, please feel free to reach out. We love your feedback. So thanks so much for listening. Well, that's it for this episode of the Saving Yourself from Wall Street podcast. I appreciate you stopping in. As always, you can find our podcast along with other articles and videos at savingyourselffromwallstreet.com. And now, the lawyers say hi.
Saving Yourself from Wall Street is hosted by Kirk Kinder. Kirk Kinder is the owner of Picket Fence Financial, a fee-only financial planning firm. Big Offense Financial is regulated by the states of Maryland and Florida in accordance and in compliance with securities laws and regulations. Big Offense Financial does not render or offer to render personalized financial or tax advice through the Saving Yourself from Wall Street podcast. The information provided is for informational purposes only and does not constitute financial, tax, investment, or legal advice.